This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, and it's going to be a different kind of a Tuesday. So strap in and buckle up and let me tell you what is in store for you tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. First of all, I'm just going to lay out this warning right now. This first bit, maybe the first hour, I don't know how long it's going to take me, is going to be a little bit heavy. It is the anniversary today of Abbey Gate. It is weighing heavy on my heart. I have a lot I want to say, trying to honor them, trying to condemn those responsible, and we are going to walk through that. I'm not going to forget, and I'm not going to let it go. We're going to talk about that tonight. I know, because that's going to be heavy. We're all going to be a little weighed down in a little bit. You, me, everybody. I'm going to chop away at a bunch of really cool emails, fun stuff, history stuff, all kinds of stuff afterwards. And then we'll get on to some other news of the day. A couple little items here, little items there. Pam Bondi doesn't want you getting hammered on a boat this weekend. All that and so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Yeah, Pam.
You know, freedom is not free.
Quit. Anyway, we'll get to that in a little while. But let's first discuss military service, sacrifice, risking your life, losing your life on behalf of your nation or tribe, whatever, wherever you happen to live. There is an old saying that war is old men talking and young men dying. It's an old saying. They pulled that saying out in the movie Troy. If that's where you heard that saying first, just know that's an ancient proverb, much older than the movie Troy. Okay, but I do think it's thousands of years old. War is old men talking and young men dying. Now, that is not as insulting as it always sounds. That's just the nature of how things are. As you get older, Lord willing, you get wiser, but your body isn't, it's not what it used to be. And so you need to do more of the thinking, more of the decision making. When you were young, not as wise yet, not because you're stupid or there's anything wrong with you. You just don't have enough years under your belt yet, don't have enough experience. You're not as wise, maybe, but physically, you are tip-top shape. And you, as a young man, and well, young women nowadays too, as a young man, you have those shoulders, legs, chest, you have that body in part because you are made to defend things. Defend your home physically, your woman, defend your town, your city, your country. And sometimes, if you so choose, give up your life in service to your country. That's the way things are. Young men have fought in wars since time immemorial and have died in wars since time began. That's the way it goes. I understand that. And let me explain. Every single person in uniform, especially frontline troops, they understand that, and they understand that's part of the risk. Yes, if I sign up, I may die. But whether we're talking about a big country or a small tribe, I have always and will always believe that the country itself, the government itself, owes you two things if you are one of the young men or young women who will go die on behalf of that country. Your country owes you two things. One, your life that you're willing to give up for it should not be thrown away, should not be disregarded as nothing. Oh, yeah, look, they may order you to go do something very, very dangerous with the risk of death very, very high. Don't throw my life away like it's nothing. Don't throw the life of a young soldier away like it's nothing, because it's not nothing. That's a living, breathing human being with parents, siblings, maybe a wife, children. don't take his willingness to sacrifice and abuse it and throw it away. Throw it away with incompetence, with evil, with corruption. So that's one. Don't throw the life away. And two, if that young soldier does give up his life on behalf of his country, honor him. The old man who did the talking, meaning the ones who gave the orders, the ones who planned it, honor the one who gave up his life. He deserves that. Society deserves to know his name. His fellow soldiers deserve to see you honoring him. His family deserves to see that. Honor and respect the ones who gave up their lives. I don't think that's asking a lot of any country or any tribe. Don't throw the life away. Honor the sacrifice once it's been made. The reason I am opening up the show tonight, talking about Abby Gate, I'm going to try to remain quite calm. If you've listened to this show for a while, you'll know that was the angriest I've ever been on the radio, shouting into the microphone. I hate doing that. I don't like doing angry radio. I'm going to try to stay calm tonight. The reason I'm doing this tonight is both counts. Don't throw the life away and respect the sacrifice after it's gone on both counts. The communists in the Biden administration, in the State Department, in the intelligence community, in the military community, failed those troops who gave up their lives. A young woman, a bunch of young men, gave up their lives for this country, and their lives were thrown away by an evil, evil regime, by negligence, by evil, and afterwards, in the aftermath of it, and to this day, nothing has been done to properly honor them. I do, before I go on the dark stuff, want to give a nice shout out to Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, who welcomed them into the White House today, honored them. Here was a little bit of Pete Hegseth.
On behalf of this beautiful group, on behalf of these families, on behalf of your loved ones who fought for our nation, America deserves answers as far as what happened in Afghanistan. The military needs to answer for what happened in Afghanistan. So upon the president's direction, immediately we initiated an investigation which showed that there needed an even deeper dive. So Sean Parnell, our Pentagon spokesman, who himself is an Afghanistan veteran, is leading this effort. It's a top priority for us. We're getting access to all the documents necessary, why decisions were made, why they weren't made, why certain force protection measures were ignored. Again, there's never been accountability for this. It's something that Joe Biden allowed to happen that never should have happened. Anybody who, any objective observer knows that's not how you leave a country. And certainly these families know better than anyone else. These families deserve it.
Sean Parnell is a good man. Sean Parnell will dig down as deep as this hole goes. And Sean Parnell will get us answers. And credit to the Trump administration for digging into this. So let's recap what happened. Let's talk about it to hold people accountable, and let's talk about it to honor those who gave up their lives. And I'm telling you right now, at the end of all of this, I'm going to read their 13 names, and we are going to play taps in their honor. So, Afghanistan. You know we went there post 9/11 to track down Osama bin Laden. It was a big CIA special operations. It was a big, you know, tip of the spear operation. There's great, great material on that out there now. We know Osama bin Laden was there. We know Afghanistan was really a hotbed for jihadi activity and still is, of course. And so we went there to track down the man responsible for bringing down the towers. But as is so often the case, we didn't have a clear mission. Part of the reason people fall in love with World War II is the mission was so incredibly clear. And in a lot of ways, it's really the last war we had where the mission was clear. There, that's Nazi Germany. Destroy them, defeat them. There, that's Imperial Japan. Destroy them, defeat them. That's the goal. Unconditional surrender. You will be defeated. And that clarity we find so refreshing, don't we? Especially in the wake of everything that happened after that. Korea. What are we doing? Okay, we ran them out of the South, but now we're invading the North. Are we? What are you doing? Vietnam. Don't get me started on that. Poor guys over there talked about it all the time. What's the mission? What are we doing? What's the end goal? Iraq, Afghanistan. The lack of clarity. We know now. We know. Courtesy of things like the Afghanistan papers, which is about the only decent thing the Washington Post has ever done, we know. Clear back to Rumsfeld. They're sending memos to each other. I'm not sure what the mission is now. Can't find him. What are we doing here? We'll continue on in a moment. Before we continue on, speaking of Vietnam, our Vietnam veterans are getting older too. Do you have one in your life? Send him a text, make a phone call, talk to him, say thank you. Remember, this is why I talk to you so often about Pure Talk. Remember when I told you about MACV-SOG and what they did in Vietnam? Dying in droves behind enemy lines. The bravest of the brave. The missions are, they're like something out of the movies. They really are, all of them. They're just something out of the movies. The CEO of Pure Talk did two tours with MACV-SOG. How do you end up with a mobile company that has this kind of patriotism? Handing out flags for Independence Day? How does that happen? Well, when your CEO was MACV-SOG, that's what you get. You can have the exact same phone service you have now, the same phone or a new one, same phone number, but you can pay less and patronize a company that loves this country the way you do. How do you do it? You pick up that cell phone. You dial #250 and you say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And after I get done dragging you down memory lane, talking about Abbey Gate, Afghanistan, the four-year anniversary, we'll get to a bunch of those emails, maybe take a load off for a little bit. But for now, we are going to discuss what happened. We're going to discuss the sacrifice, the players, the everything. We are going to talk about this. We are not going to let it go. We are not going to forget. Afghanistan, we end up going in there after Osama bin Laden. But very, very quickly, the politicians and military leaders lose sight of what we're actually doing. What are we doing here? Why are we here? What is the actual overall mission? All right. This, unbelievably, goes on for 20 years. I still cannot believe that number. For 20 years, we had our guys running around Afghanistan doing crazy things. Some missions made sense. Some missions did not. A lot of blood was lost over there. Some things we'd go put in a water well that was never used. Sometimes we were told we weren't allowed to touch the poppy fields, the heroin fields. In fact, we had American troops guarding them. We had a Green Beret assault an Afghani police chief who was assaulting a young boy, very common practice in Afghanistan, and the Green Beret got in trouble. And what this did, just I'm giving it to you from somebody who participated in the whole GWAT. I was Iraq, not Afghanistan. And I'm telling you, this disillusioned veterans like you cannot possibly imagine. We watched betrayal after betrayal after betrayal from our political and military leaders, Republican and Democrat. I've told you this before, the most revealing moment of my entire life was being in the Iraq invasion, fighting our way through the country, and being told one day that the order came down that we had to put away our American flags, telling a legion of young patriotic Marines that they had to hide their American flags. I don't know that I've ever seen the light go out of so many young Marines' eyes as I did that day. But this is what happens when your country's led by a bunch of scumbags who don't love it, don't care about anything but their own power, their own wealth. And this went on for 20 years in places like Afghanistan. Now, after 20 years, see, Obama wanted out of Afghanistan. At least he said he did. Trump said he did too. Biden said he did. Everybody kept saying they wanted out, but we were not out because it's not easy to get out when you've been in a place for 20 years. You have a military base. You have relationships. You have supply lines. You have all these things. And one of the things we were doing for 20 years was supposedly building up the Afghan forces so they would be able to withstand the Taliban when we did leave. But here's a little genius wrinkle brought to you by America's military. We also forced them to be reliant on us, meaning, yeah, you'll be able to fight off the Taliban as long as we are here providing X, Y, and Z. We essentially trained them to ride a bike with training wheels and then decided all at once to rip those training wheels away. Now let's discuss the decision itself to pull out the way Joe Biden did, because there is a way to egress from a nation. There is a way to pull out. It is not easy, but it is. There is a way. You have to do it carefully, slowly. One step at a time, you essentially take one step at a time backwards towards the door. You don't turn and run towards the door. You don't back up too fast or you'll fall. You take one step at a time, just like you see in the movies, backing out the door slowly but surely. But you see, that's not what the Biden administration wanted. Why? Why the big hurry? Why just pull everyone out, turn around, and run for the door? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Poll numbers. Approval ratings. We were approaching the anniversary of 9/11, the 20th anniversary, 9/11. The Biden administration wanted a good talking point. They wanted a good parade, a good flowery, fluffy military video to put out. They wanted Joe Biden to look like the man who finally got us out of Afghanistan. So against all the advice in the world, they simply sent the memo out and said, hey, leave. Oh, okay. When? Oh, now. Well, what do you mean now? Like right now? Leave everywhere? Yeah. Well, what about all the equipment we have? Leave it. What about the terrorists we're currently holding, ISIS terrorists currently holding, being detained in Bagram Air Base? Oh, I don't care. Leave. For poll numbers. For approval ratings. So they could send out a nice tweet. That's why we left. We'll pick up the story from there in a moment. Before we pick up the story from there. What hurts physically on you? There's something. And look, if there's not, there will be. What hurts physically on you? It's weird how I find it fascinating how different bodies break down in different ways. Maybe it's your foot. Maybe it's my elbow. Maybe it's your back, neck, my head. Different parts of your body suffer from inflammation as you get older and we lose this and lose that. Your body's still trying to fight it the same way it always did, but now your body needs help. You don't have to give up the things you love to do. You like to go play pickleball, golf, work construction, woodworking. What do you love to do that you gave up because it hurts? Don't give up the things that make your life better. Give up pain. Relief Factor will help you give up pain. It is 100% drug-free. It is a supplement, and it will make your pain go away. Well, at least it does for almost everybody else. 3 weeks of it's $19.95. Order it. If your pain isn't better in 3 weeks, don't ever take it again. If it is, call and order more. 1-800-4-RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a wonderful Tuesday, as we walk through Afghanistan, Abbey Gate, the pullout, what happened, as we try to honor the sacrifice, try to hold people accountable on the fourth anniversary of all of it. So Joe Biden, because he wanted, and I know when I say Joe Biden, as always, just know that's a placeholder. He didn't want anything. It was the dirty, filthy communists who hate America all around him. That was the only people making decisions. So Joe Biden decided he wanted a flowery photo op for the anniversary of September 11th. He yanked all of our troops out, emptied the place overnight without doing it smartly at all. What happens? The Afghan forces that we had supposedly been training for years started to collapse almost immediately. The Taliban were ready. Of course, they were given a heads up that we were leaving. The Taliban were ready, and they began to conquer region after region immediately. Now, the people of Afghanistan are intimately familiar with how the Taliban operate and what they do. The Taliban's barbarism is infamous. Everybody knows about it, the way they treat women, the way they treat children. They're big on the whole torture thing, execution. Chris, you people don't fare very well there. Neither do Christians, by the way. The Taliban are evil. They are the spawn of Satan. And people begin to panic. Afghan people begin to panic. And they start to flood towards whatever Americans are left in the country, saying, save us, get us out, because they know a life of torture and death is imminent for them. Get us out, save us, please. So, we are treated, as Afghanistan is falling, we are treated to scenes that are rough, to put it mildly. A runway full of panicked Afghanis crowding around C-130s, in some cases, so panicked they're holding on to the landing gear before plummeting to their death high above the runway. It's an ugly, awful scene, very reminiscent of when we were pulling our final troops out of Vietnam, the panicked people of Vietnam knowing what's going to happen when the communist savages finally have control over everything. A level of fear that I hope you will never know, and frankly, I hope I will never know. They're scared to death. Now the Biden administration is scrambling. They're scrambling because, well, one, everyone went on vacation. Everyone went on vacation. Joe Biden, our Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, even the White House press secretary, they left as Afghanistan was collapsing. Then the outrage starts to pour in. Their phones are blowing up. What are you doing? What is happening over there? And they drag Joe Biden out. And this, when he sat down with noted communist propagandist George Stephanopoulos, this was the answer from the President of the United States of America as people were dropping from C-130s.
We've all seen the pictures. We've seen those hundreds of people packed into a C-17. We've seen Afghans falling.
That was 5 days ago.
That was 4 or 5 days ago. Why are you bringing up old stuff? Well, now here's what's happening inside of the White House. Remember, this was supposed to be a flowery photo op. This was supposed to be a great moment. Look at who pulled us out of Afghanistan. Uh-oh, the public's mad about something. What are we going to do? They come up with the most cockamamie plan I've ever heard in my life. Pause for a moment before we get to the plan. Let me talk about the detention center on Bagram Air Base. You see, the men we were holding there were some of the most committed jihadis on the planet. One of those men, he was an ISIS guy. He had been previously captured in India. He was in India getting ready to carry out a terrorist attack in New Delhi. The Indians, by the grace of God, found him first, grabbed him up, deported him. We got our hands on him and threw him in a cage in Bagram Air Base. When the Biden administration abandoned Bagram Air Base. Imagine the moment the Taliban are walking through our air base and they come across this detention place with a bunch of committed demons who are willing to commit murder against Americans. They grab the keys, open up the gates, and then there's a meeting between ISIS, between Al-Qaeda. They were part of this. In fact, the Bin Laden family is part of this. Did you know this? ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban had high-level meetings about planning an attack. How do we hurt these Americans? How do we blow up these troops? Now, back to our cockamamie plan. Instead of an air base, which is very secure, and let me clarify this for civilian types who may not understand, why is a military air base like Bagram secure, but a civilian airport is not secure? A military air base is surrounded by walls, surrounded by towers, and in order to gain entry to it, because we've learned over years and years and years of dealing with jihadis, to gain entry to it, you don't just drive right up a road, right up to the gate, and maybe you get a big truck full of explosives and you blow through the gate or blow up the gate or something like that. No. That's not how it works at all. You have different barrier systems set up that force vehicles to weave their way through gigantic concrete sandbag barriers. You have prevented for the most part any kind of a large suicide bomb attack that can hurt a lot of personnel inside the airbase. Maybe you'll get the people guarding the gates. That certainly happens. But for the most part, the base is secured. We've learned how to avoid suicide tactics. But that has to be done not just with troops, because troops, all of them, even the toughest in the world, they're just flesh and blood. It has to be done with hard infrastructure, walls, concrete, pillboxes, sandbags, towers. This is how you protect yourself against jihadis with suicide vests and trucks full of ammonium nitrate. This is how it is done, and that's what we had at Bagram. But the geniuses in the Biden administration and the military and the State Department and the intelligence community, we can't let any of them off the hook. They just decided to open up the whole freaking thing and give it back to the Taliban. Now, we have to go to the airport. The regular old civilian airport. Let me ask you something. Your airport, the airport in your community. How secure is it? Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I know there are metal detectors and things like that, but what's surrounding the airport in your area? Now, this is America in your area. At best, there is a chain link fence that is the ultimate security, physically keeping people out of your airport runway. Am I off? Am I wrong about that at all? At best, that's what you have. Now, we have legions of frightened people, an airport that cannot possibly be properly secured, and we send Marines, sailors, and Army soldiers into there to try to sort through the mess so the Biden administration doesn't have the bad optics they had 4 or 5 days ago when Afghanis were dropping from the sky. We sent the troops in for optics, and we didn't give them at all the infrastructure they needed to ensure the worst couldn't happen. And while all this was going on, Taliban, ISIS, Al-Qaeda operatives were meeting, figuring out how to kill our guys. We'll continue. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. That's not old man music, Chris. That's good music. You wouldn't know anything about that, you Gen Z dork. Sorry, I get upset with Jewish producer Chris sometimes when he insults Motown. Who doesn't like Motown? Everybody likes Motown. You're crazy, Chris. You're crazy. And back to what we were discussing. Don't distract me. We'll get to other things, emails. I'll move off this whenever I'm done with it. I'm not in a hurry. We're talking about what happened, the 4th anniversary of Abbey Gate. So what did happen that day? First of all, don't think for one single second that we didn't know there were bad guys about. And don't think for a second that we didn't identify the bad guy before he incinerated 13 of our troops with ball bearings. I'm going to play a couple things for you. United States Marine Corps Sergeant, I believe it was Staff Sergeant, maybe it was Sergeant Vargas Andrews. He's describing the attack. Here it was.
About 17:30, Staff Sergeant Darren Hoover, friend and mentor.
By the way, this is a minute and 42 seconds. I don't think I will interrupt it just out of respect. If I have to clarify something, I may interrupt it, but I want him to have his piece.
About 17:30, Staff Sergeant Darren Hoover, friend and mentor. Came to get me from the tower to go help find an Afghan interpreter in the crowd. We found the interpreter and his brother, born with American passports. They told us of five family members still in the canal. I stayed there waiting for the family members, standing against a 2-foot canal wall. 10 minutes passed. Then a flash and a massive wave of pressure. I'm thrown 12 feet onto the ground, but instantly knew what had happened. I opened my eyes to Marines dead or unconscious lying around me. A crowd of hundreds immediately vanished in front of me, and my body was catastrophically wounded with 100 to 150 ball bearings now in it. Almost immediately, we started taking fire from the neighborhood, and I saw how injured I was with my right arm, completely shredded and unusable. I saw my lower abdomen soaked in blood. I crawled backwards roughly seven feet, because I thought I was still in harm's way. My body was overwhelmed from the trauma of the blast. My abdomen had been ripped open. Every inch of my exposed body, except for my face, took ball bearings and shrapnel.
Now, who was it that had that bomb? And could we have stopped it beforehand? Here he was.
I requested for the battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Brad Whited, to come to the tower to see what we did. While we waited for him, psychological operations individuals came to our tower immediately and confirmed the suspect met the suicide bomber description. He eventually arrived, and we showed him our evidence, the photos we had of the two men. We reassured him of the ease of fire on the suicide bomber. Pointedly, we asked him for engagement authority and permission. We asked him if we could shoot. Our battalion commander said, and I quote, "I don't know," end quote. Myself and my team leader asked very harshly, "Well, who does? Because this is your responsibility, sir." He again replied he did not know, but would find out. We received no update and never got our answer. Eventually, the individual disappeared. To this day, we believe he was a suicide bomber. We made everyone on the ground aware. Operations had briefly halted, but then started again. Plain and simple, we were ignored.
Ignored. "Hey, sir, here's a suicide bomber. Can I shoot?" "I don't know." "Well, could you maybe find out?" Never gets back to his troops. This is another thing we're not just going to dump all over the Biden administration, which of course we are going to do. The military leadership in this country is a disgrace. The rot has been going on for years and years and years, and now our brave troops on the ground are oftentimes led by the biggest bunch of scumbag, dork, idiot losers in the country. You see that uniform that says General, Admiral, and immediately your respect level goes up. I sneer because I assume that's a dirtball politician wearing a military uniform who would sell his troops up the river in a heartbeat if it meant one more star on his collar. That's what I assume, and I'm correct about 99% of the time in this country. How in the world, as a battalion commander, how does a battalion commander look at a Marine Corps scout sniper who had identified the suicide bomber ahead of time and say, "I don't know"? I'll tell you right now, I had several battalion commanders in my 4 years in the Marine Corps, and every one of them, I guarantee you, to a man, would have said, "Kill him immediately. I'll deal with the aftermath. No, go kill him. Shoot him now. That's what I had in 2000 to 2004. By the time 2020 came around, we get, I don't know, I'll find out. And never even makes a phone call to come back. Doesn't so much as get on the radio and say leave. Says nothing. Pathetic. And after our 13 warriors died, the American people, hoping that maybe briefly we had a commander in chief, waited for Joe Biden to take the podium that night. Joe Biden took the podium that night after having thrown away the lives of 13 brave warriors. And this is how it went.
An attack by a group known as ISIS-K took the lives of American service members standing guard at the airport and wounded several others seriously. We have so much to do. It's within our capacity to do it. We just have to remain steadfast. Steadfast. Ladies and gentlemen, they gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC.
They gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on. Now, why were the communist animals in charge of the country? Why were they giving Joe Biden specific instructions on which reporter to call on? Because even in the wake of the death of 13 brave souls, they were still just worried about optics, still worried about poll numbers, still worried about approval ratings. We'll wrap this up and play Taps for the Fallen next.
This is an iHeart podcast.